Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, a league of nations among other internet radio stations, voices of the people, united we roar. Today is January 10th, 2007, and it's 28 degrees here in Ann Arbor, Michigan, with the snow on the ground. We never thought we'd see the snow this year since it's been so warm, but hey, even miracles happen here in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Today on Lillian Speak Out with producer Lillian Caldwell, she is going to be interviewing a renowned romance author by the name of Rowena Sherry. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Rowena. Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Lillian.
Great. I understand that you've been working on a book called Insufficient Mating Material. What's that all about?
Oh, well, that's my third alien gin romance. The others were the award-winning e-book Mating Net and the honorable mention winning Forced Mate. It takes up where Forced Mate ended with the hero Jethro Jason, severely beaten, about to undergo surgery to change his face and identity, and faced with the unenviable future of either having to marry the airhead fashionista Princess Marcia Julia, with whom he had a long one-night stand. If he refuses, he's supposed to be put to death. No one gives a thought to how Marcia Julia will respond when she sees the limping stranger being frog-marched up the aisle to marry her. She was expecting, you see, to marry the chap she had the wild one-night stand with. Her surprising reaction sets off a firestorm of rumor, scandal, and rattles a murderer who thought he'd gotten away with an ancient crime. It was a lot of fun to write.
I bet it was. Now, is this another one of your chess titles? What does insufficient mating material mean?
It's a term for when the players agree that neither of them is going to be able to get into a position to checkmate the other, when no matter how badly the opponent is going to play. So it seems like quite a good one. It was a triple pun when I first wrote it, but it's only a double pun after I had to add some love scenes.
Okay. Well, I bet the reviewers had a lot of fun reviewing all these books. So what in particular are they saying about any of these books? Are they being kind?
Oh, most people are being extremely kind. Of course, not everybody is going to like my sense of humor, which is quite British. But one reviewer, Billy Joe of Romance Junkies, who's quoted actually on the back copy, my editor was so delighted, said, "Insufficient Mating Material is a powerful romance laced with devastating family secrets, treachery, and a sizzling passion hot enough to singe your fingers as you turn the pages. Miss Cherry has become an auto-buy author for me." Another one that I really like is, "Care to take on a god? What is it like exactly when two gods go head-to-head?" And then she goes on, "Stellar wit, wonderful characters, and amazing research into basic and not-so-basic survival techniques make for a very real and relatable environment. This was without doubt one of my favorite reads of 2006. And that was said by Kenda Montgomery, who's an author and a reviewer. Another one that I really love is the prolific Harriet Klausner, who wrote for Alternate Worlds. "This is a terrific science fiction romance in which the world building is so stupendous, readers will believe they're visiting an alien landscape. The action-packed story focuses on two manipulated individuals with pasts that make both vulnerable. With her Tigron Empire tales, Rowena Cherry is staking a claim as the empress of heated science fiction romantic thrillers." And then book list, finally, I won't bore you with too many of these. I liked the way she picked out the heroine. "Spunky isn't often used to describe older heroines, but everything good about the word is perfect for Marcia Julia." And that was Nina C. Davis of Booklist. As you can tell from my choices, because I've had a lot of very nice and interesting reviews. I like the ones that recognize the heroines and that recognize the humor and that understand about the research that I do, because I do put a lot of research into my books. So I'm delighted with the reception almost everywhere of the book so far.
And where can one find this particular book?
Right now, it's not quite out. Amazon's taking pre-orders, but it will be in bookstores on January the 30th. And that's probably the best time and place. I'm sure the bookstores would take orders if people wanted to pre-order. I'm running a contest with the Borders group, so any Borders bookstore is going to know about it, or Walden Books, because Walden Books is part of Borders. And I'm doing my launch book signing in Barnes & Noble, so they are also going to know about it. And if we have listeners in Canada, I'm also very much on the front burner with Chapters Indigo in Canada. So it's going to be available in bookstores almost everywhere.
Sounds like it. So you started to talk about book signings.
Oh, yes.
So what is your schedule like? Can you share that with our listeners so they can start noting it down in their calendars?
Well, if anyone's in the Ohio area, on Saturday, February the 10th, I shall be at the Barnes & Noble Booksellers in the streets of Westchester, which is on the Civic Center Boulevard, Westchester, Ohio. The telephone number there is 513-755-2258. Now, that's a group signing. I'm a guest with the Ohio Valley Romance Writers. So that's kind of a little stealth opportunity, but Linda runs a wonderful Barnes & Noble Booksellers down there. My official launch book signing is in Detroit. It's in the Barnes & Noble Booksellers of Bloomfield Hills on 6575 Telegraph Road, Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, 48301. Their telephone number is 248-540-4209. And I shall be there on Sunday, February the 11th, from 2 p.m. until 4 p.m. And because it's so close to Valentine's Day, I shall have a few goodies for people who come by to see me.
Oh, that's great. And
yes,
also I was just going to go on to say that I noticed that when I went and visited your website that you had a newsletter going on.
Oh, fabulous, yes. And if anybody couldn't keep track of what I was saying about my book signings there, if they go to www.rowenacherry.com/newsletter, everything I have is, everything I'm doing is in my newsletter. Also the text of a lot of my reviews. And also there's an interview with a very interesting cover model. And excerpts from some of my fellow authors who also have releases this month or next month. I co-promote, I don't believe in rivalries, so I'm close to and co-promote with Linnea Sinclair, Colby Hodge, who also writes as Cindy Holby, and Susan Kearney.
Yes, and it also says that you're going to have Leno Dunbar as your cover model interviewee.
That's right, yes.
Mr. Romance.
He was Mr. Romance in 2003. Yes, Fabio was the most famous former Mr. Romance. And I don't think anybody has quite made the sensation that Fabio did when he won the Romantic Times Book Club Mr. Romance competition. But it takes place every year. This year, the Romantic Times convention is in Houston, Texas. I think it's around the 24th through 28th, something like that, of April. I shall be there. In fact, I'm involved in about four different workshop events in the daytime, and there are evening events, too. And I don't I expect Linnell will be there again, and many other well-known cover models also turn up. It's a wonderful event, the Romantic Times Convention.
And you have a hook here saying that you're going to have a preview of how to win a $500 bookstore buying spree?
Yes, I decided I would launch a... I didn't put out the whole rules in my newsletter, but they are on my website at www.rowenacherry.com/hiddenimage, or one word, and then another slash at the end. I'm running this contest to encourage people to look at my book. You don't have to buy my book to enter my contest. You can, in fact, even guess. But there's an image that the wonderful Dorchester cover artists hid on the covers of my book, Insufficient Mating Material. And for readers, there's a contest, or not readers, anyone. The contest runs from January the 31st to February the 28th, and the rules are on my website, and anyone can enter.
That sounds pretty good. I'll have to try that. And then you have, what is the most interesting thing about your book?
Yes. Well, thank you for asking me what I... And for me, it's the survival information. Some people think it's the romance. Some people think it's the humor. But I was really interested in the survival. I try with all my books to have people not just be entertained, but also informed a little bit. And with this book, I decided I was going to do a bit of a survivor-type romance, and that's why survivor man Les Stroud, who's on the Science Channel on Wednesday nights, I believe, agreed to give me a cover quote. He also gave me some interesting insights into wilderness living and loving and some rather unusual survival tips. But my interest started with a challenge at a book signing. We were at the Bloomfield Township Library, and there were several of us authors, and we were off in one of the back conference rooms. This was before the expansion project, and almost nobody came. I was sitting next to another Dorchester author, Kathleen Nance, and we started brainstorming about romances generally and what we were thinking about writing next. And I mentioned that I wanted to perhaps write a desert island romance. She said she tried that, and after three chapters, it was impossible to sustain the interest. And I decided that, you know, I could probably do, I was going to do it, because, and that sort of personality. If somebody says I can't do something, I immediately want to do it.
Obviously, she never was a Girl Scout.
Well, I don't know whether she was or wasn't. I did the Duke of Edinburgh's award, and we had to do a bit of survival-type training and some camping out and making our fires in the open air and cooking and stuff. I didn't enjoy it very much, and I wouldn't really enjoy being trapped on a desert island either, but I did my research, and I found plenty of things that could be going on and reasons
why. Oh, absolutely. I don't think that I would be bored on a desert island. There are just too many things to do.
Lots of things if you want to survive, yes.
So it's just a matter of putting it down the right way, especially when there's somebody else who is so close, but yet so far and unattainable, too.
Well, that's why I made the heroine a bit of a fashionista, a bit of an airhead, very upset if her fingernails got broken, desperately doesn't want her sort of Princess Leia-type hairdo to get sand or bugs or twigs in it. And of course, it does. It's inevitable. And she has a problem with the, you know, not having a flush toilet around. And what on earth is she going to use? And she doesn't like the coldness of the sea. And there are all sorts of things. It's like the worst possible case. It's like taking the old television program Green Acres and just hitching it up a notch. So there's plenty of conflict between the hero and the heroine, because at first she doesn't seem to want to help at all and doesn't know what to do. And and she won't take her clothes off, even though they're wet and she could catch a chill. And the hero does manage to talk her out of them, but then she can't put them back on again because it keeps raining. And they're wet and they don't dry, and he has to lend her his T-shirt. And, of course, it's, when I say T-shirt, it's what I think of in England as a vest. But it's men's underwear. And she doesn't like it, and she doesn't like the fact that it's white. He does something about that. And then what are they going to eat? And then he wonders if she might have allergies. And it was an absolute blast to write.
I bet. It was a real comedy.
Yes, it was. And what's more, she's kind of a bit of a people for the ethical treatment of animals type. So she didn't much like the fact that to eat a varied diet, he had to kill things. Yes, it's a great book. I shouldn't say
I
that.
Bet she's never heard a berry scream out in pain as it's being crushed to make wine either, for that matter.
No, she doesn't seem to mind about that.
Well, that's different, you know.
Yes,
I know, but if you're going to take it, let's take it all the way. You're not going to burn the wood because it has a spirit probably that lives in it, and that would singe whatever nails or toes it has, not to mention being burned alive. And
oh, dear, yes. I didn't go that far.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
I was only allowed about 300 pages, so.
Okay, so what are the kind of tips that Survivor Man threw out to you that he thought would be of particular use for your two survivors?
Well, I had a joke about condoms. The hero was, in fact, joking. He wasn't serious. But Survivor Man told me that you could use rabbit guts for a condom if you needed one. In desperation, we also had to talk, because my hero and heroine were likely to be stranded for a very long time, about what you would do for personal hygiene needs. And he said if you needed absorbent material, you could maybe get some absorbent fabric, but you'd be better off also using some moss. But you want to boil the moss, because you could get shiggers in your diapers or whatever you needed. What else did he tell me? He told me some tips about finding water. That if you were ever in an arid environment, you would look for the place where the grass seemed to be lushest and greenest, if there was any grass, because that would be a good place to start looking for water. Didn't apply actually on my desert island, because there were no springs, so they had to make water by digging beach wells, and also by putting plastic bags and so on over leaves and vegetation. So those are a few of them. He didn't find very many inaccuracies in my book, which was really nice. So he only gave me about 4 tips.
Well, that's pretty good.
Well, it was, because it meant I'd done my research on all the other things. Yes. We talked a bit about starting fires, and berries, and skinning rabbits. He said that my method of skinning creatures wasn't quite accurate, because I'd actually taken it from reference books on skinning much larger animals, but in the end that scene got cut anyway. My editor just didn't feel that we needed to skin the rabbits on stage, as it were.
Of course. And were you going to scrape it with a sharp knife to get all the fatty residue off of the body and away from the hair of the fur?
And then tan it with brains?
Yes.
To make leather. But we didn't need that much detail. I do have to be careful not to gross out my gentle reader, and remember that I am writing a romance, after all.
Well, yes, but I would think, if nothing else, he would want to dry it and by taking some stakes and impaling it to a piece of wood and letting it dry, and then fashion her shoes or whatever to protect her tender feet.
He does, in fact, do something similar. He makes her some nice, fluffy slippers, yes, but he basically presents them with her. Why don't go through all the motions? But yes, so I see you know a lot too.
Yes, I lived off the land. I homesteaded for a couple of years, and I learned how to do a few things in my time. I don't think I could survive so well now, but when I was in my 20s, I was very good. I knew how to tell my directions from which side of the tree the moss grew, and I knew that you did not sleep in cleared-out spaces because most grizzly bears like going to those places also. They're very lazy animals, and if they can find a clearing to go through, they would do that rather than walking through a lot of tree branches. So...
Well, you'll enjoy my book. I'm going to send you a copy.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I would enjoy that very much. Very much indeed. So if people wanted to get the other two books of the series, are they out?
Well, yes and no. Forced Mate will probably be put back on the shelves when Insufficient Mating Material's out, if it does well. It definitely, for my book signings, I think they're making an effort to get them. Forced Mate can be ordered through bookstores, but there's a kind of a little etiquette that unless you've got lots of books, they have the one order, they keep it on the shelves for 6 months or however long they do,
right.
And then they don't restock it necessarily unless you've got a mass of various titles, and they keep you all on the shelves all the time, which isn't usually the case. So it can be bought also through Amazon.com, of course, online, or ordered through the bookstores. MatingNet is only an electronic book because it's a short story. It just would not make economic sense for people to spend more than $2.50 or $3 to buy that. And to print it, it would have to cost a great deal more. So it is available from, basically, if you go to my website, there's a link that takes you to the publisher, the electronic publisher for MatingNet. And that's a good book, too. I wrote that as Rowena Beaumont Cherry. It's a bit darker, a bit dirtier, and obviously it's a short story. It was written as a prequel and as a promotional vehicle for Forced Mate, but in the end, it was too good a story not to publish in its own right. So
that's I'm glad to hear that. Now, do you make any public appearances at any type of romance conventions that are usually held during the year?
I'm going to be at the Romantic Times in Houston, as I said.
Okay.
In April. When is it exactly? Let me see. It's April the 25th through the 29th. And there's always a book fair there where the public can come in. And there are about 300 romance authors and other types of authors, I suppose, there. So if you live in Houston or near Houston, that's a good venue, and that's on the Sunday. Apart from that, and apart from the two I'd mentioned already in Ohio on February the 10th and in the Barnes & Noble on Detroit on February the 11th, I haven't scheduled much. I've got three more books to write, and I kind of live from day to day pretty much.
Yeah, I know how that goes. So all these books under contract to the same publisher?
Yes. The books I'm writing now are...
How difficult is it to get a romance book accepted by a major publisher these days?
It's very hard. It can take 10 years, longer. You can sit in the slush pile for 6 years unnoticed. Some people, on the other hand, write an absolute dynamite proposal, send it off, and sell it within a week. So a lot depends on luck, I would say, and talent, of course, but you can be very talented and the wrong person sees it and you don't sell it, and you don't sell it. When I say the wrong person sees it, I shouldn't say that. I should say it has to land on the desk of an editor who wants what you've written at the time and who gets your style and loves your book immediately.
Is it necessary for a romance author now to get an agent? Because it used to be touted that if you stick to the formula that romance was and you wrote a book, it would be easier for that book to be accepted and promoted than going into another genre and trying to write a book. So times have changed.
Times have changed. There are still publishing houses that will take unagented submissions. And if you look in the publishers, there's a big production put out, and the library will have it in the reference section, which will tell you which publishers take unagented submissions. Or you can go to their websites, and that will also tell you if they take it unagented or not. And often an agent will be a great help, but agents aren't easy to get either.
No. No, they're not. I tried getting one for my mystery story for middle school kids, and I was told to get accepted by a publisher first and then come for the agent. And I wrote back and saying, well, if I get a publisher, I won't need an agent now, will I?
Well, it is a catch-22.
Yes, it is.
And if you are offered a publishing contract, if you can't get an agent at the time, and sometimes a bad agent's better than worse. I mean, a bad agent is worse than no agent. There are always intellectual property attorneys. For instance, I always used Bodman LLP out of Ann Arbor to check over my contract and make sure I was signing what was in my own interest and not committing myself to something I didn't understand. So there are ways around it if you can't get an agent. A good way of meeting an editor and getting by the no unagented submissions thing is to attend a conference where the editor that you think is the editor of your dreams would be, and meeting them. And if they invite you to submit to them, then you don't need an agent. You can just submit.
Exactly.
So meeting an editor at a conference or convention is one good way. Another good way is to enter a contest that the editor is judging. And they always publish who the editors are who are judging contests. So that's another way of trying to get in front of an editor.
Yes, you have to be a little bit creative sometimes, and you also have to put yourself out in order to get someone. You cannot be a wallflower.
That's true. Now, there's also Anna Genoese has a wonderful blog, and I think it begins ALG. I can't remember her blog address offhand, but it is in one of the past issues of my newsletter. I think it's not last month, but a couple of months ago, on my website, www.rowenacherry.com, I do have, in the index on the first page, archives. And if you go to the archives, you can look at past issues of my newsletter. And I know I mention Anna Genoese's blog, and there's all sorts of industry insights that I pass on. And if you just search on the web, you can also find interesting blogs. So I know she blogs. There's Kristin Nelson. She's an agent. I think she blogs. Deirdre Knight. She's an agent. She blogs. And sometimes you can befriend them on their blogs, or their blogs will tell you how to submit to them or give you some inside tips in the industry. But Anna Genoese is one of the editors who will read unagented submissions. I think Chris Kiesler of Dorchester will also read unagented submissions. And there are many, many more. And, of course, then there are all the electronic ones.
Yes. You have to do your homework, and you have to be willing to take a look around and really find out what information you need. Well, that's how I found my present publisher, is that I went around to a lot of the blogs. I was submitting to a lot of people who said, if you send it to so-and-so, I will take the time to read your stuff, but you have to take the first step. And a lot of authors out there do not know how to look.
I think people can also go to the EPIC, E-P-I-C site. I think there's free information for the general public there. You can't be a member of EPIC unless you are electronically published. But Triskelion is taking submissions, I think. And another one I really must mention is New Concepts Publishing, because I really enjoy writing for them, and they do very good things for authors.
Oh, great. I'll have to take a look at your newsletter when I have a chance and start my list and everything. And at the same time, I have information of different television shows that are hard to get on, but I have gotten contact names and emails and phone numbers that tell you how to pitch to them to get on their shows with your book, because I collect that kind of information.
Well, your book, of course, is much more interesting because it's young adult.
It's young adult, yes, and I changed it a little bit since you last read it. I will have to send you a new version of it. I think you and your daughter will enjoy it immensely. And there's a second one coming. It's called The Queen of Sheba and the Kingdom of Heaven, and it will take place in Ethiopia, Africa.
Wonderful.
Yes, you get to take a look at that, too, once I get it written. I'm sort of working with publishers. Says, and when's the second book due? And I said, 08. And they said, no, end of 07. I'm going, okay. So now that we've talked a little about me, let's get back to you. Is there anything else that you want your readers and fans to know about so they can keep their eyes propped open and look for everything from you?
Well, yes, thank you. There's the Dorchester forums. If people want to go over to Dorchester, and I'm just gone and lost. Dorchester has forums at dorchesterpub.com, where it's a wonderful place for, for readers and to read what the authors are writing about, and it's http://forums.dorchesterpub.com, and there many of the Dorchester authors, not just the romance ones, there are horror ones and thriller writers as well, and we're going to try and beat the record on Valentine's Day of attendance. The most they ever had there at one time was only 57, and I'm sure we can beat that. But there are thousands of people who go, and it's enormous fun, and we just let our hair down and chat about this, that, and the other. So the Dorchester Pub, that's a great place to go and kind of eavesdrop on what we're all talking about and doing and thinking. And what else? Well, of course, there's my website, which I've mentioned, www.rowenacherry.com. And I also have a MySpace account, but it's pretty much the same stuff as is in my newsletter. And I've got brain fade, and I can't remember what my MySpace account is.
Well, that's okay. You know why? Because when you remember it, we'll just put it right underneath the podcast so that people can click on the link and get over to your MySpace. How's that?
That's superb. And here we go. Oh, the wonders of the Internet.
Oh, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, she is going over and through a crystal Internet ball.
Here we go. I'm also on MySpace, www.myspace.com/Rowena_alien-gin-romance.
Aha. So everybody got that? I'm putting it down.
www.myspace.com/Rowena_alien-gin-romance.
Okay.
Gin is spelled D-J-I-N-N, although the D in gin is silent.
So it's not Dijin.
Nope.
No, Dijin. Okay, I hope everybody got that. And please check her out. Her books are wonderful. I had the opportunity to read one of them. I think it was a short story, and I really enjoyed it. It introduced me to a new level of romance that I don't like, the ones that get so hot and heavy with the petting and everything else that you say, oh, brother, and throw the book down and, you know, walk out, because that's nothing to do with reality. Her books are really down to earth, and her characters are believable, and you can visualize the whole thing. And I really recommend highly that you go and pick up a copy of her book, because it's something that you can curl up with on a day when, you know, your kids are out in the real world bothering other people and your husband has gotten lost in a football game and you have some time to play catch up with yourself. Recommend her books highly.
Thank you very much, Lillian.
No, you're welcome. I'm not a big romance reader, so I'm telling you, this is the genuine article for me. I've never had much romance in my life, so I wouldn't know if romance, if it hit me between the face, you know, but I really liked her books.
And well, thank you. I do have to say, though, there are some love scenes in this book. Yeah, and there is a little bit of strong language because the hero is in a very annoying situation.
I can imagine. We all know what men do when they get annoyed enough. Not only do they get angry, but they blame everybody around them except for themselves. Or at least the men I know. Oh, it's always somebody else's fault for the predicament in which they find themselves in.
Well, when you've lost, it starts as an underdog story. And, you know, he's lost his girl. He's been beaten in a duel. He blew his cover and gave up his wonderful life to rescue the girl that he thought he was supposed to be marrying. And once he rescued her, he discovered she didn't want to be rescued. Thank you very much. And then he got beaten up. So yeah, he's got good reason to be angry.
He's had a bad day.
Yeah. So thank you anyway for all your kind words and your time and so on.
Oh, you're welcome. And if you enjoyed this conversation interview, please go to http://internetvoicesradio.com, where you can hear it as many times as you want to, especially if you download the MP3 stream. And we want to thank Rowena Cherry for taking the time and making the time to come in and be interviewed, especially if she has three more books to write. That's a heavy load.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And this will wind up our interview time for today. Our next talk show is scheduled for 7:30 this evening with Laura Minning and Inspirational Realism. And after that, it's Dr. Trainee Roberts with HOPP Talk Ministry. So please don't go away and don't stray. We have all the programs from yesterday, meaning all from last year, to listen to. We have a new program called Selectathon. If there's a talk show host you like and you want to hear one of their programs, give us a call at 734-332-5902. Tell me the name of the author, host, and what date they had that program, and I'll be more than happy to play that program for you all over again. Thank you very much for listening. Have a marvelous, wonderful day, and I'll see everybody tonight at 7:30. Thank you, and remember, keep listening.